We are delighted to have our sister with us again to come and to tell how the Lord saved her and how he has been with her and her family. And we're delighted that our sister's with us, and we're going to ask her to come and to speak to us now, please.
Well, I would just like to thank the Reverend Park for asking me this evening to share my testimony with you all. First of all, I'd like to read three passages from the Bible and what they mean to me. The first one is taken from Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And this verse was very applicable to me when I first came to know the Lord at the age of 15. My second reading is from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 and 4. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh, and a time to mourn and a time to dance. And these verses have been very good to Andrew and I for the past 2 years what we have came through as a family. And finally, my reading is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, which is a promise from God which I hold on to every day in my life. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Ladies and gentlemen, I stand in this pulpit this evening, and I'm far from being perfect. But there's a song that I hold close to my heart. And it says, if you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today, just an old sinner, saved by grace. And that's all I am this evening, an old sinner saved by grace. I'm very pleased to say that I was born into a Christian home where my father and mother both loved the Lord. We all attended Hillsborough Free Presbyterian Church, and at the age of 15 I was convicted, and I knew that if I died I wouldn't be going to heaven. So I'm glad to say my sister Lorraine led me to the Lord one night at home in our bedroom. At the age of 17, I started going to a youth meeting held in Guildford on a Saturday night. And the Lord really blessed me and my friends. We would have done outreach outside the Coach nightclub in Banbridge. And it was a great experience to speak to my friends that went to tech with me and to witness to them. After attending Banbridge and Lisburn Tech, I got myself a job in Dunluce Health Centre in Belfast as a GP receptionist, which was great. Now I could afford a car, so there was no stopping my friends at me. Any social or party on, we were there. In the summer of 1998, my friends and I got friendly with a group of people, which I got particularly friendly with one of the fellas, which I ended up going out with. Everything was going great, but after a few months, I realised that this fella really wasn't wanting to go to the Christian places that I was wanting to go to. And it's amazing how your mummy always seems to know everything. And I remember saying to me, you know, Lordy, and that fella you're going out with, I don't think he's saved. And always remember it's easier for someone to pull you down than you to pull them up. So to cut a long story short, yes, Mummy was right. Unfortunately, I backslid for a year and a half and ended up going to the nightclubs and taking a few drinks. But I'm glad to say God never gave up on me. He still kept speaking to me. And on Christmas 1999, I remember standing in the queue waiting to go into the M Club in Belfast and looking across the street. There was all of my Christian friends, which I had stood 2 years ago giving out gospel tracts. I was so ashamed, and all I could remember God saying, "Lord, what are you doing? You're not even happy going to these places." And all I could hear was my mummy saying, "Just remember, Lord Jane, if God came back tonight, is this where you would want him to find you?" In January 2000, I got down on my knees and I asked God to forgive me, and I told him that I wanted to give my life back to him. I knew I had to change a lot in my life, and I split from this fella and I stopped going to the nightclubs and started all over again. I remember praying to God, "God, please guide me to the right person who I go out with so that I don't fall into this trap again." And I'm so thankful that God answered my prayer and I met Andrew, my husband, in March 2000. And such a difference. We could share the things of God together by having our prayer times and doing Bible readings. And I do plead to any young person in this meeting this evening, do pray that God will lead you to that right person, as being with someone that loves Christ does make all the difference. In June 2002, Andrew and I got engaged, and in May 2004, we got married. In 2005, God blessed us with a boy who we called John Mark. In 2007, we were blessed with another boy who we called Oliver James. And in April 2009, we were blessed with a girl who we named Laura Louise. Now, our second wee boy, Oliver James, was the wee character. Anything mischievous, he was up to it in a good way. But Oliver James's wee speech had always been a bit slower, and he had been attending speech therapy, which he was getting on really well. But I took him back to the doctors back in October 2010 regarding him finding it hard to breathe at night, which they said it was due to his adenoids being very large, and they were going to refer him to ENT in Craigavon. In December 2010, we attended the ENT, which the doctor took one look and said, "Yep, they need to come out," as they were very large and his tonsils were the same. In February 2011, we got the word that he had to go in for this operation on the 1st of March. Now, as I said before, Oliver James was our wee character. He was so excited about going into hospital, it never even fazed him. He just said, "Mummy, you just leave me at the door and I'll run on in myself." The doctors and nurses were all so nice to Oliver James, and he loved the attention. So thankfully, he got tonsils and adenoids removed, and he was out of hospital 2 days later. Now, he found it hard to recover with the soreness, but he was really trying. We took him back to the GPs twice to make sure that everything was going okay, and they gave us a wee antibiotic to prevent any infections. On the Thursday, Oliver James was doing great. He was starting to eat good food and starting to be himself, crying on a bedtime at night. But Friday, the 11th of March 2011, will be a day that will probably stay with me the rest of my life. Andrew, John Mark and I were downstairs getting our breakfast, and Oliver James came down to get his. And I remember looking at the clock, it was 8:05. And Oliver James just did a wee cough, and he brought up a bit of blood. And one of the things the doctors and nurses had told us, if there was any bleeding, we had to ring a number they had given us. So straight away I went and phoned the number. The phone hardly rang, and the nurse picked it up. I explained what had happened, and she said, "Ring an ambulance straight away." By this time I got into the kitchen, Andrew was standing with a basin in front of Oliver James. He was still conscious, but I couldn't get over how calm he was. He never cried. And I took over from Andrew while he phoned 999, and then he passed out. But 8:20, Oliver James was in the ambulance to Craigavon Hospital, and Andrew accompanied him. I remembered after they had left to go to hospital, I went upstairs to Laura Louise, who was nearly three, and John Mark had went upstairs to her. And I walked in, and John Mark said, "Mummy, I don't think I'm going to have a brother anymore." And I remember saying, "No, John Mark, Oliver James is going to be okay. He's in the ambulance now, and the paramedics will soon have him to hospital." But you know, when I look back on this, I firmly believe God was preparing our wee John Mark's mind of what was going to happen. I was now 34 weeks pregnant, didn't know what way to turn. Phoned my family, and they were all on their way up. Andre's daddy had came down, but I remember getting a phone call from Andre, and he said, "Laura Jane, the doctors would like you to come down, as Oliver James is very sick." My energy had left me, and I said, "Andre, I can't even move." Andre's daddy went down, and by this time, my mummy, sister, and sister-in-law had arrived. Another half hour passed, and I got another phone call from Andre to say the doctors insisted that I came down, so my sister and I headed up to Craigavon Hospital. Thankfully, when I arrived, our minister, the Reverend Lackey, had just arrived at the same time, and we were all took into a room where a lovely Christian nurse that lives in Stewartstown that knew the McRae family well. And the doctor set us all down and explained to us that Oliver James was a very sick wee boy, and they didn't know if he was going to pull free. And if he did, he would have brain damage as a clot had formed on his windpipe, and it deprived him from oxygen to his wee brain, and that he was on a life support machine, and he was going to be transferred to the Royal Hospital for Sick Children. At 2 o'clock, Oliver James was transferred from Craigavon to the Royal. Every one of us was devastated. Again, the doctors and nurses were brilliant in intensive care. Andy and I just kept praying and crying unto God that he would heal our wee man and that this would be in his will. We thank God for all the prayers that went up for our Oliver James. We thank God also for the Reverend Lackey, the Reverend Goetz, the Reverend Barnes and the Reverend Abraham. They came and prayed with us at the hospital. On the Sunday, we were told that neurology were going to come up and do a stimulation test to see how the brain was going to function. After this test, the consultant neurologist told us that unfortunately the brain was not active to any of the stimulations and that they would do an MRI in the morning to confirm this. It was so hard to take in. Andrew and I just sat looking at each other. We didn't even know what to say. But one thing we both can say looking back, God was holding us. We knew he was with us. As the verse I read out at the start, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear." On the Monday morning, we headed down to the Royal. Now, thankfully, Andy's brother Ian had flown in from Glasgow, which is he's a consultant radiologist, so he said he would assist Andrew for the MRI results. At 12 o'clock, Oliver James was taken for this MRI. At this stage, my body was exhausted, so I just went back to Daddy and Mummy's house. I remember getting into the bed. I didn't sleep. I just lay there. But again, I knew how I had the presence of God with me. As the little verse says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." At 4:30, Andrew phoned to say that the consultant had met with them. And sadly, Oliver James's brain was not responding and wasn't going to respond, and that he was going to deteriorate very rapidly. 9 o'clock that night, we said goodbye to our Oliver James and that we would see him soon. Now, can I point out, God gave us this amazing strength to believe this, and we are still holding on to this. As 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55 says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is law. But thanks be to God, he gives victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brother, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. We all left the Royal Hospital for Sick Children at 10 o'clock that night. Doctors and nurses were standing speechless, tears in their eyes. Never had they seen a child die from a tonsillectomy bleed. But again, God's ways are not our ways, as this little poem talks about the tiniest lamb. The story is told of a shepherd wise who, when the day was done, needed to cross a stream to get home. He lay it, but the sheep wouldn't come. So he gently turned to the flock once more, knowing that this was best. He stooped and lifted the tiniest lamb, holding it safe on his breast. While he waded the troublesome stream again, in the light of the setting sun, this time there was no hesitation at all, for they followed him, every one. Oh, I wonder if Christ, our Shepherd Divine, doesn't work in the self-same way, by taking the dear little lambs to draw the sheep that have gone astray. Oftentimes he has tried, yes, so very long, to get us to follow his call, and when everything fails, he takes to himself the tiniest lamb of all. To punish us? No, he loves us so much that he died for our sins to atone. But he hopes when the lambs are all safe in the fold that the sheep will follow him home. You know, Andrew and I do believe that God has maybe had to take our wee lamb to bring others to him. And we pray that others will come to Christ. It's amazing how God works. The month before this all had happened, it was our woman's meeting in Cookstown Free Presbyterian Church. And it had failed on Monday the 14th of February. Now, Dr. Lindsay Wilson had spoken that night, and his passage was on Isaiah 43. When thou passeth through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. Now the Reverend Wilson referred to a family in his church where they'd had a little boy who took very ill and died in a short space of time. He said he couldn't get over this family, how they got this amazing strength. And he remembered saying to the father about his strength, and the father's reply was, well, it's like this. If I start to ask why, it's a path that I might never get back up again. And this story stuck with me, and I remember coming home and sharing it with Andre. Little did we know that the same night of the next month, the 14th of March, we'd be saying goodbye to our Oliver James. But you know, I thank God for giving the Reverend Wilson that message, because the next day after Oliver James had passed away to glory, Andrew and I said we were going to have to be like the family in Castle Derg. Don't ask why. At the end of the day, who are we to question God? In Isaiah 55, verse 8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Praise God for his amazing strength, for giving myself, Andrew, John Mark, and Laura Louise to get over the funeral service. The Lord has moved in amazing ways with Oliver James's death. When we were at the Royal Hospital, we got speaking to a lovely family who had a daughter who was in intensive care, and she had received a kidney transplant. And this little girl had been so sick for 3 or 4 years, and she received this transplant and she was doing great. But you know, we strongly believe God put this father and mother in our path for a reason, because when we knew that nothing could be done for Oliver James, Andrew remembered about the little girl who'd got the transplant, and he asked, could we donate any of Oliver James's organs, which the doctor said they would run some tests. And I'm happy to say that 5 lives received Oliver James's organs, and we got a lovely letter a wee while ago, which I would like to read out to you. I want to take this opportunity to give you an update on the progress of the recipients. The little girl who received Oliver James's heart is doing really well, and the medical team caring for her are very happy with her progress. The young boy who received a double lung transplant is being monitored regularly and is going from strength to strength. The gentleman who received Oliver James's kidneys remains in excellent health with good kidney function. He is now being reviewed every 2 months. And the young boy who received a small bowel transplant has now full function and no restriction in his diet. Whilst the young girl who received Oliver James's liver did suffer a small setback, but I'm pleased to say that she has fully recovered from this episode. I hope this has not caused you any distress, but rather brings you some comfort in the knowledge that Oliver James's most precious gift, the gift of life, has saved and transformed the lives of these individuals. Now, it's this last paragraph that really struck out for me and Andre. Does this not remind us of what the Lord has done for us? He's given us the most precious gift, the gift of life, to save and transform our lives. And that's just what, you know, reminds me when we read that wee paragraph. How God, that Jesus gave us the gift of life by dying on the cross for us. With the organ donation, the only thing I couldn't donate was Oliver James's eyes. And I felt guilty about this. But praise God, he has taken the guilt away. As the money in lieu of the flowers we give to fame were Rodney Davison and his family from Cookstown Free Presbyterian Church are doing amazing work. But back in May 2011, we got a phone call from the Reverend Dunlop to thank us for the donation of money. He knew nothing about the donation of Oliver James's organs, but he proceeded to say, "Would we be happy if this money could go into a fund to help little boys and girls who have problems with their eyes out in Kenya and needed operations?" We were amazed. God was moving again. Now, as I've mentioned before, I was 34 weeks pregnant when this all happened with Oliver James. God gave me an amazing strength to keep on going. And on Friday the 1st of April 2011, Andrew and I were blessed to have another beautiful baby boy. He will never replace Oliver James, but he has given us a lot of comfort and joy. The meaning of Simon Peter's name has been very true to us as a wee family. In John chapter 1, verse 42, it says, "And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas Peter, which is by interpretation a stone, a rock." And that's just what Simon Peter has been to us, a wee rock. You know, I've had people say to me, "Do you never be cross with God for taking your child away from you?" But I praise God, I don't be cross or angry with the Lord. At the end of the day, Oliver James is with his Heavenly Father, where he's getting the best care, love and attention, more than what I could ever give him. Yes, I do miss him, but praise God, I'm going to see him again. We thank God for the Christians that have forwarded us letters, scripture verses and poems. But there's one particular poem that a dear lady had forwarded us, which had lost a wee boy in a farm accident. And this wee poem says, "I said, God, I hurt. And God said, I know. I said, I cry a lot. And God said, that's why I give you tears. I said, life is so hard. And God said, that's why I give you loved ones. I said, but my loved one died. And God said, so did mine. I said, it's such a great loss. And God said, I saw mine nailed to a cross. I said, but your loved one lives. And God said, so does yours. I said, where is he now? And God said, my son is by my side, and your son is in my arms." How true this wee poem is. In conclusion, this is where I have got so far on my journey on this earth. But I want everyone to know in this meeting tonight, I could never have got through this only for God. And I want him to get all the glory. I don't want anyone leaving saying, isn't she amazing to cope with all that? I want everyone to say, isn't God amazing how he can uphold and strengthen his loved ones? And it's not just the Christians he loves. He loves each one today, whether saved or not. And he just wants the unbeliever to call upon him and get right with God today. I plead that anyone who doesn't know Christ as their personal saviour will, because none of us knows what is in front of us. Life is so short. So I just want to thank everyone for listening to me, and God bless.